Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you on this edition of the program. Bill Jack from Worldview Academy joins me in studio today. Just a touch on modern popular culture and how Christians interact with it. We like to come back to popular culture because, well, it has such an incredible influence upon the way we think. In fact, I would say more so than public schools. Popular culture, movies, television, etc., have a huge influence. And it's my view that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We don't wrestle against Hollywood. We wrestle against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this age. And I believe that they are connected and they are involved in our world. And they oftentimes find ways in which to influence the highest echelons of popular culture and thereby affect the minds of hundreds of millions. Bill, I'm just going to say it, 97.8% of the population. I mean, okay, it's an estimate. It's an estimate.
I choked on that one.
Okay. Well, let's get to what I would call reality television programs. But let's talk about the Duggars for just a moment. Now, sadly, the Duggar family has become something of a circus sideshow for the popular media, for the whole world. And it is one of the heartbreaks of the modern homeschool / modern Christian church. We had to cancel the Duggars for our Christian Home Educators of Colorado conference. I'm going to say in 2015, I think it was. And that was the year of the scandal. And Bill, I had to fill in for their talks that year. You can imagine how disappointed people were.
Yeah.
I remember a homeschooling mom come up to me and go,
"You don't look like
whatever
like
happened to the Duggars."
Yeah.
She was so upset.
You don't look anything like the Duggars.
I could not make her happy.
Yeah. You didn't trot out 19 kids, right?
No, I didn't. No. But it wasn't just that we canceled. They canceled because of the crisis that they were going through at the time. Now, here's what's interesting. I think it is important. It bears on this, Bill, because I can relate to the influence that the popular culture, but more than that, the liberal zeitgeist, the pro-homosexual Borg has upon just about every aspect of popular media. Does it shock you that the homosexual Borg has so much influence?
No, it doesn't. They've kind of wormed their way into every hierarchy and every institution, from, as we've mentioned several times, the church to the government to entertainment. And so it would not surprise me that that's the case.
Well, it all started, and I think what happened was the Duggars picked a fight, but they didn't know they picked the fight. Michelle Duggar recorded a political robocall message in August of 2014. That's where it started. It was a political robocall regarding legislation affecting transgender in the state of Arkansas. And here's what the robocall said. This is Michelle saying this. The Fayetteville City Council is voting on an ordinance this Tuesday night that would allow men, yes, I said men, to use women's and girls' restrooms, lockers, showers, sleeping areas, and other areas that are designated for females only, and so forth and so on. Okay, so she recorded the robocall, and the Huffington Post jumped on her, called it transphobic, and the Washington Post, of course. And so she was the victim of the mass media, and Josh, her son Josh, who got in all the trouble, was working for the Family Research Council about the same time. All right. So 5 months after the robocall, everything hit the fan. On May 21st, 2015, the police report from 2006 was revealed to the public after In Touch Weekly magazine got involved. And the skeletons came out of the closet, and the Christian testimony of the family was fairly well trashed. And you know the rest of the story, right? So the TLC organization canceled the show in the summer of 2015.
This is what happens when you try to cover up things. You know, that's why Matthew 18 is so important, that we deal with sin in the church openly. You know, that if someone is found to be in sin or someone offends you, you go to the person. If the person doesn't bring himself back in line with Scripture, then you go again with a witness. If the person still doesn't do that, then you bring him before the congregation. And anytime you try to cover up or suppress, it leads to gossip. And that's exactly what this is about. It led to gossip because sin has to be exposed. It has to be dealt with. And if it's not dealt with properly by the church, then people begin to talk about it. They want to talk about it. They've got to get it resolved. Mm-hmm. If it's not resolved biblically, it will be talked about. And so that's what's happened here. And it's sad to see, first of all, people participating and relishing over reveling in the fall of this young man, and that it wasn't dealt with scripturally so that it was resolved, and the sin continued.
Well, I'm not sure I understand all of the details, but you're right. Both the church and the civil magistrate should have been involved, mm-hmm. from what I hear. They should have been involved because these are sins and crimes. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, that should have happened. But here's the other thing. I don't believe the reality program should have ever happened.
Yeah, because you're holding people up to a standard that is impossible to keep. The world even holds Christians to a higher standard than they do their own. For example, Jennifer Lopez is now separated in her relationship from her former paramour. Now she's supposedly back with Ben Affleck. Now that is the parallel headline to this whole Duggar situation. Yeah. They're not faulting J-Lo for her multiple relationships, but they're certainly faulting Josh Duggar. Now, why? Because even the world holds Christians to a higher standard than they do their own. And so you're right. The reality show shouldn't have happened because it puts that family in the spotlight.
Right.
And there's no perfect family.
Right.
And it set them up for disaster. It set them up for failure. It set them up for defeat. It set them up for the world then turning on them and ridiculing them.
The TLC organization canceled the show in summer of 2015, but I think the show is continuing. The show goes on.
So it's 19 and counting and counting and counting.
Yeah, but more so Josh Duggar's 19 sins and counting.
Yeah.
And the world just wants to watch it. And it's playing out for the whole world to watch. And this is where things are now. It's the reality program that just keeps on coming. That may be one of the saddest stories of any Christian family I've ever heard. You know, the world loves to speak of these things, you mentioned, to gossip about what's happening to others. Fox News and so many of the news sources are turning into gossip tabloids more and more. Have you noticed this?
Mm-hmm.
And they don't do any good. We're not called to analyze everybody's sins. My mother used to watch the Duggars, and I'm guessing she regrets it now. But I think it would be better if we just stayed away from these reality programs. They're professional busybodies, professional peeping Toms. They either focus on the reality stars as excessively wonderful, mm-hmm. or they flip to excessively awful. They'll go either direction on it.
Yeah. So what
they can turn on a dime, too. They turn on a dime. You may have this wonderful family. This is what happened with the Duggars. You have this wonderful family, and people see them as stars, this wonderful picture of this wonderful family, and then it turns. And now they're focusing on how excessively awful this family has been, or members of the family, or a member of the family happens to be. The story is there to entertain, and it's, I would call it, highly professionalized gossip. Now, best case, the program turns out to be moralistic, but they're not going to reflect the redemptive work of Christ in the family. You know, we see these kinds of sins, sexual sin or other forms of sin, play out in the churches. But in the process, oftentimes, we do see true repentance.
Right.
And we see you know, real redemptive work of Christ in people's families as these things play out. But you're not going to see that in TLC. They're not going to feature that on the Learning Channel.
No,
because that's not their worldview.
No, because what they want to do is they want to expose what they consider to be hypocrisy among Christians so that they can bring them down to the level in which they live. And so it's the envy of the world against righteousness. And since Christians are imperfect people, we're cracked pots, if you will, it's easy to find examples of Christians who fall and therefore try to discredit Christianity before the world.
Now, friends, I'm not trying to condemn every television program ever produced or every documentary ever produced about anything, but 1 Timothy 5:13 does apply here. Listen to this. Besides this, some women will learn to be idlers, going about from house to house, and not only idlers, but also gossips and busybodies, saying what they should not. In Proverbs 18, verse 8, the words of a whisperer are like delicious morsels. They go down into the inner parts of the body. And so much of what happens in the reality programs is just professionalized gossip and busybodies at work. By the way, mental note here, if anybody comes to your house and says, I'm here from the Learning Channel or Discovery to make your wonderful Christian family amazing TV stars, don't take the bait.
Close the door.
Yeah. See ya.
Don't invite them inside. Don't invite them inside. Don't offer them a cup of tea or coffee or a crumpet or a scone or even an almond croissant. Oh, that's tempting. Oh, it's tempting.
Don't go for it.
Don't go for it.
Demons aren't stupid. They know when a family sins and secret hypocrisies can be dragged out in front of the whole world and mocked. And there's nothing the world likes better than to find some good, goody-two-shoes Christian family, big TV stars, and unveil their horrible sins. And then, like you said, everybody can feel like they're better than they are. Please understand, friends, the media is as much about scandal as they are about the nice little strange family routine. And I'm not sure anybody has ever survived the big fame machine unscathed anyway. This big media thing is bought and paid for by the devil. You've got two options as Christians. They'll either force you to compromise your values or they will turn you into a public scandal. And we're going to talk about more of that in just a moment. The Benham Brothers, Duck Dynasty, next on Generations.
Ever since the creation of the Garden of Eden, Satan has been working his hardest to erase the knowledge of God and seduce the creatures made in God's image to think that they are the center of the universe. One look at today's society and you see his progress. Humanistic thought has inundated our culture, and we can trace its roots directly back to the classroom and the textbooks we're setting in front of our kids. That's why every Christian homeschool parent should have a curriculum that's not only rock solid academically, but most importantly will point students back to their Creator as the source of all wisdom and knowledge, and to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. If you've been struggling to find such a curriculum, look no further. Here at Generations, we've spent over 15 years developing our Christian discipleship curriculum to help Christian homeschool parents like you pass on the faith to your children by teaching a God-centered view of life and integrating the Bible into every lesson. Our goal is to not only help you meet your students' academic needs, but also to assist you in discipling your children for generations to come. So get started today with our Christian discipleship curriculum and watch your children marvel, learn, and mature as they embark on a God-focused learning adventure to discover more about the world around them and the one who made it all. You can learn more about our curriculum resources and pick up our newly released fifth grade curriculum pack today at generations.org/curriculum. That's generations.org/curriculum.
And we are back on the Generations broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson, Bill Jack, also in studio with us today. Bill, this big media thing, the big media comes to the door, says, hey, you know, I can make you a star overnight. Yeah. You've got two options as Christians. They will either force you to compromise your values or they will turn you into a public scandal.
And scandal sells. That's what sells.
Yeah, it does. Mm-hmm.
That's what draws the public eye. because it makes the public feel better about themselves and their sins by pointing out the sins of those who are supposedly righteous. And so to hold up those who are touting the Christian faith in ridicule makes everybody else feel good about themselves.
These devils are merciless. They are vicious.
And clever.
And clever. The Duggars came down. The Benham Brothers were canceled, too. About the same time. Did you know that?
Yeah.
It happened almost the same time the Duggars came down.
Mm-hmm.
The Benham Brothers were canceled in 2014 from their HGTV contract. Media reports said the show was yanked by HGTV after comments about their opposition to homosexual marriage. Published on Right Wing Watch, and Right Wing Watch was, during those years, effective as bringing as many Christians down as they could. Duck Dynasty also was canceled in 2017, so that would have been, what, 2 years later. And that was A&E.
Yeah.
See, in this case, it's, I guess, the Arts and Entertainment Channel. Duck Dynasty, I think they'd been going for 11 seasons. Is that right?
Yeah.
Something like 11 seasons.
And it's interesting because the Benhams and Duck Dynasty group, they use their platform well to promote Christian values.
They did the best they could with it. Phil Robertson.
And Christian worldview and a Christian view of family. And they didn't shy away from the warts. Mm. They didn't shy away from the difficulties. They didn't shy away from the struggles that Christians face in the real world.
Phil Robertson called homosexual behavior sinful in an interview with GQ magazine in 2013. That's what got him in the first trouble. He was briefly suspended from the show, you know, for his comments. He had to go into the corner and sit there with a dunce hat on for a
yeah,
while.
Yeah, face the corner wall.
Yep. And then in 2015 and 2016, he stated that STDs were a punishment for premarital sex or something to that effect. I'm not sure if that's exactly what he said, but that's the quote. And also, I guess he was opposed to the transgender bathroom thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they say that's what canceled him, but it's hard to say. Everything came to an end in 2017, shortly after Phil Robertson pushed back on the major zeitgeist, the major agenda of the homosexual Borg. You know, you step out and you oppose the highest form of orthodoxy in the modern humanist world, and what happens to you? You will be canceled, friends. Now, I'm not sure. Somebody gonna say, yeah, but Chip Gaines. Yeah, but Chip Gaines. We got somebody. Somebody survived the zeitgeist. Somebody survived the homosexual Borg. Somebody survived it. Chip Gaines. Well, the Chip Gaines couple didn't really want to associate with their anti-gay church back in 2016 when the dust-up happened. Apparently, their church's pastor said something opposing homosexual marriage in 2016. But just last month, they told Oprah Winfrey they were not really a big fan of reading the Bible. That was on the Oprah Winfrey show as of a week or two ago.
Huh.
Friends, the big media thing is bought and paid for by the devil. Interestingly enough, HGTV, A&E, and TLC have all featured Christians and canceled them by various means when they turned out to be anti-LGBT. So, how can true Christians really be loved by the world? Bill, how can Christians be really loved by the world? How can we be famous and retain that fame and appreciation in the world's eyes? How do we do that?
Oh, it's easy.
We do it like Jesus did it.
It's easy. It's one word. Compromise.
Oh, okay. Well, that's not the way Jesus did it. Here's the way Jesus did it. This is John 15 and verse 18. So keep this in mind, friends. If you're seeking fame, keep this in mind. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. That's what Jesus said. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world. Therefore, the world hates you. I don't think there's any getting around that, Bill. How do you get around that? And at root, my friends, this seeking of fame, the seeking of the desire for human accolades is the ultimate value that the world places. 1 John chapter 2 describes the world as the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And that is that which promotes lust and pride, that which does not hunger and thirst after righteousness, but that which hungers and thirsts after fame and fortune, that which hungers and thirsts after the accolades of men.
And, you know, it's interesting. It reminds me about Paul saying, you know, run the race to be the one who wins. And he was referring to the races of his day in which the winner got a little crown made out of leaves that faded, that wilted within a few days. And it was perishable. We run the race for that which is imperishable, for the crown of glory in eternity that we turn around and throw at the feet of Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And that's not what the world gives. Now, the world doesn't give us peace. The world doesn't give us fame. The world doesn't give us fortune. All of that rests in the person, resides in the person of Jesus Christ. He is our peace. He is the glory that we seek. He is the fame that we want. We want to hear those six words, well done, good and faithful servant.
One more word from John 15. Jesus said, remember the word that I said to you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. So if you're going to be Christ-like, people say, I want to be Christ-like.
You better be careful.
What is it to be Christ-like?
You better be careful when you say
that. You know what it means to be Christ-like?
It means I find myself against a wall with nails in my hands.
You got it. You got it. You will be whipped. Your reputation will be trashed. You'll be abused. You will have blood running down your face, 40 to 50 lashes down your back as deep as the bone. That's what it will be to be Christ-like. Well, friends, prepare for persecution and be okay with it and rejoice and be exceeding glad when they persecute you for righteousness' sake.
Most people say, Lord, please don't bless me so much.
Yeah. But you know what's interesting? In the book of Luke, I was just reading this. Jesus said, if they persecute you, rejoice and leap for joy. I was telling somebody, I don't know how to leap for joy. If I did, I'd probably break an ankle. I'm not sure I'm quite there, Bill.
Yeah.
I've received a little persecution around the edges, but I get a little down in the mouth. I remember one time I was just really upset. I don't know if it was just some death threat or whatever. It was kind of a little bit down, and my wife brought the Matthew chapter 5 verse down to me and it said, you know, rejoice and be exceeding glad for your great is your reward in heaven. I was like, oh yeah, that.
Yeah. You know, a friend of mine just recently went over and saw Jack Phillips, the baker here in Colorado.
Oh yeah, how's he doing?
And he went in to buy something for my friend's birthday. He said, okay. I want cupcakes or something from Jack's bakery. Mm-hmm. And so he went in to pick it up and he got to talk to Jack. And he said, Jack, how can I pray for you? What should I pray for? Jack said, an undivided heart.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're talking about.
Yeah.
We can't have one foot in the world and one foot in Christendom.
Yeah.
We can't seek the praises of men and the praises of our Lord and Savior. But it's so tempting. It's so tempting to want to be popular.
Mm-hmm.
To want to be liked.
Yeah.
And so when you look at these reality shows, that's the underlying goal by those who are participating. They want to be liked. They want to be famous. You know, it's the old song, Fame. I'm going to live forever, light up the sky like a flame. I'm going to live forever, see that you remember my name. There's nobody in this world who is that famous. Even the most famous historical figures, Abraham Lincoln, were not known and have never been known by everybody. The only way we can achieve fame is to be known by the one who made us. That's how we achieve fame.
And the only famous person in history should be Jesus.
Yes.
For every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord. You know, one day I turned to my wife. It was during some of these trials and difficulties that we've been through, and just the trials of ministry and serving and, you know, just following Jesus. And I turned to her and said, you know, I think we're just going to have to deny ourselves, take up the cross, give up our lives and follow Jesus. And there was something about committing ourselves to that.
And she looked at me and said, you're crazy. And she said, I'm out of here.
No, she didn't. She said, I'm with you. I'm with you. Let's do it. Also, it's interesting. I interviewed an Egyptian Christian who was tortured, beaten, crucified, and barely escaped with his life. And here's what I asked him about where we are in the Western world. And here's what he said. Persecution is already here in America. All you need to do is just sign up for it. All you need to do is speak the truth, and you will be persecuted.
Yeah.
So, friends, let's just commit ourselves to the life of Christ. And remember, the servant is not above his master. This idea that somehow, you know, Jesus can be dragging this cross down to Calvary, and we're riding in a convertible, honking the horn behind him, just doesn't make any sense. No. We'll take up our cross and follow him. That's our commitment, isn't it? Friends, you've been listening to the Generations broadcast. You can interact with the program. Just email me at host@generations.org. If you have any questions or comments or some issue you'd like to bring to the table on the program, just simply email us at host@generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.